And I'm going to give you a few ways that Jesus models prayer and the benefits of prayer for you to jot down. Number one, peace in the storm. Peace in the storm is a result of communion with God. They are in a tornado and Jesus is at rest. This is what prayer does for you. It braces you against external extremities so that you're not always reacting to what you see going on around you. When you have a lifestyle of prayer, you don't act like the crowd. Everybody's screaming and running and jumping off the boat. But when you've been talking to God before the storm, you have peace in the storm. Oh, y'all don't hear what I'm saying. I got chill bumps on my arm. You got peace in the middle of the storm. Is there anybody in here that's had unexplainable peace? You don't even know. It's not even your character. It's not even your nature. That comes from having a consistent prayer life, not a church prayer life, not a, oh, thou God who rulest the winds and waves and stands on eternity and overlooks the corridors of time into thy prison. No, 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 no. This is the kind of prayer where you drive down the road and say, Jesus, I don't know what we're going to do about this, but I'm trusting you about that. And if you don't want me to do this, I need you. This is the kind of prayer that is not eloquent. It is just you crying out, hey! Somebody holler, help! The woman who said that, who authored that book, well, her daughter was grievously vexed with a devil. She didn't have time to be eloquent. When you're in a fight with the devil, you don't have time to be eloquent. We don't need an exercise in your vocabulary. We don't need you to tune up. We need you to open your mouth. Help! And the benefits of prayer is demonstrated in the storm. How you react to the storm determines how far you're going to go. You can't be a leader if you freak out. You got to keep a calm head in a crisis. I might freak out after the crisis, but in the middle of the crisis, I'm going to stand up to this. One of the things I love about my wife, I love about her, my wife does not freak out in a crisis. No, she goes into lockdown mode like something you have not seen. Now, 2 weeks later, she may burst into tears, but while you are in the store, she going to box like Mike Tyson. She gonna bite, no, let me tell you, girl, you bad with that. She gonna box like Mike Tyson. I was raised to box like that. I was raised to fight like that. If you started getting hysterical, my mother would slap you. She said, you may not have the peace of God, but you're gonna have the peace of Oda, because I'm gonna knock you out. You hold it together. You hold it together. I couldn't even fall apart at her funeral because I could hear her. I was about to collapse. We were closing the casket and I was about to collapse and I could hear her say, what good would that do? Discipline. Discipline over your emotions. Discipline. We have a generation, and I'm talking about all of us, all ages that are alive in this era of undisciplined people. Who say whatever they think, however they think, whenever they want to. You don't have no prayer life. You talk to people when you ought to be talking to God. If you start talking to God, it'll change how you talk to people. Come on, somebody. Jesus demonstrates prayer for them, number two, deliverance for others. He comes down off of the Mount of Transfiguration. The disciples have been wrestling with this boy fighting for his life. He's casting himself into the water. He's casting himself into the fire. They cannot control this demon. I want to talk to some people who have a demon that's out of control in your life and you cannot control it. And when Jesus comes down, the boy's father embarrasses the disciples by saying, I brought him to your disciples and they couldn't do nothing with him. There are some things you have to bring directly to Jesus. You don't need an appointment with the bishop. You don't need an appointment with a counselor. You don't need an appointment with a team. Some stuff you got is some demons you got to take to Jesus. Never mind the fact that the boy got in the fire but didn't get burned up and got in the water and he never drowned. Jesus is already present, but you're tired of going through the struggle and the fight and the war for Jesus. Says, bring him to me. And afterwards, the disciples asked him, what went wrong? And I respect him for that. Because no failure makes you a failure unless you will not examine, what did I do wrong? If you learn from it, it can't be a failure. Jesus said, you didn't do anything wrong, it's what you didn't do. This kind cometh out by much prayer and fasting. So Jesus is gradually teaching them about prayer. Number three, he teaches them submission to the process. Through prayer, he teaches them that when it gets hard to submit to the process, and it often does, and it even did for Jesus. So stop trying to sell me this bill that everything is easy for you. If it got hard for Jesus, I know it got hard for you, so shut up. If you just walk by faith, it ain't nothing. Shut up! Shut up, shut up, shut up, shut up. You're a liar and a hypocrite too. It got hard for Jesus. And Jesus took his inner circle out to the Garden of Gethsemane just so that he would be able to pray his way into submission to the process. Father, if it be thy will, pass this bitter cup from me. Sometimes God's will carry you through roads you don't want to ride on. Oh, y'all don't hear, talk to me, somebody. Sometimes God's will carry you through roads you don't want to ride on. Roads you didn't pick, roads you didn't foresee, roads you didn't design, and frankly, roads you don't like. But it's still God's will, because God is not in your life for your lacks. Oh, y'all didn't hear me. That was so good. God is not in your life for your lacks. And Jesus goes into the Garden of Gethsemane and says, this is how you submit to the part you don't like. Because God will send what you don't like to kill your flesh. You know, the cross was designed to kill the flesh. And the flesh will always scream out when the nails go in. And Jesus goes to the garden and prays, so he has grace for the cross. I've always thought that we paid more attention to the cross than we do the garden. Because the cross is only where he demonstrated the power of the garden. You trying to deal with the cross and you don't have no garden of prayer. I come to the garden alone. While the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses, and he walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share, come on, as we none of us have ever. I wish we sung some of that stuff again. I wish we sung some of that stuff again that encouraged people to come to the garden of prayer. Number four, the pardoning of guilt and sin. He teaches us this through prayer. When the man sick of palsy is carried by four people and they have to climb up the wall. Imagine carrying a man who is a sick of palsy, paralyzed, up the wall, across the roof with four people and lower him down into the presence of Jesus. And Jesus says to him, "Son, thy sins are forgiven thee." And then they doubted that he had the right to do that. He said, "What is easier, to say, 'Son, thy sins are forgiven thee,' or take up your bed and walk?" Is there a correlation between the palsy and the sin? Because Jesus prioritized the forgiveness of sin over the pain that brought him to Jesus. Could the pain have caused the paralysis? Are you carrying guilt that you can't get rid of to the point that it's showing up in infirmities in your body? Are you carrying too much that you're not even designed for? Do you go to God in prayer? Do you go to God in prayer? I don't mean like you dial 911. I mean on a daily, continual basis that flushes your soul of the toxicity. You so careful about what you eat. You a pescatarian. I'm a vegan. I don't eat this. I don't eat milk products. You so careful about what you put in your body, but are you careful about what you put in your soul? Are you careful about what you put in your soul? You're reading every label. You're counting fat grams. Too much protein in that. I don't do anything with caffeine. I don't do that. Shut up! You gossip. You talk to me about people. You lie on folks. You criticize everybody. So your flesh is going to be clean, but your spirit is filthy. Prayer will clean out your spirit. Prayer will clean out your heart. Prayer will change the way you treat people. Prayer will change how you react. You can take up your bed and walk when you get rid of your guilt.